The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I kind of put the kibosh on my daughter's request some years ago for a Cinderella-themed party. Daddy, can I have a Cinderella-themed party? I said, sure. We invited all her friends over and made them clean our house. She didn't ask for any after that. Good to have you. Dr. Ray Grandy program here. Doctor Is In, my producer man and call screamer today, Andrew Kruchek, father of John and Audra Rose. What's Audra, John? She 10 now? Or Andrew, she 10 and John's 8? Whoo, moving through childhood, something along those lines. I don't know if he's on the phone yet. He might be because he didn't respond. Usually he responds, so he must be on the phone. Number to get onto the program is pretty easy if you put it in an acronymic form, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. The L drops off, 877-57-EQUAL. Or if you're a number person, a digiterati, I think is a fancy word. I know I'm mispronouncing that. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Question about stuff of life or a comment. People who right now call coming in, a gentleman calling back because he had a comment too about a previous call. So if you have a comment about something to help somebody where I have fallen short, and of course, people will email me and say, you know what you didn't say? And I'll say, yeah, it was a 5-minute call. But I do appreciate it because I can store it for next time. And sometimes people call in with the generic type questions. They'll say, what is it that makes people depressed so much more nowadays? Now, we don't know that, but it sure seems like since we've been keeping stats, it's rocketing upward, especially among the young people. So 877-573-7825. I want to thank the Forge Men's Group. That's a nice name. In Des Moines. I was there last night. Thank you for inviting me. This Saturday, and again, if this is the least worst of in the future, ignore the date. This Saturday, I get a chance to go to one of the great Guadalupe affiliates in Midland. Sammy Rodriguez is bringing me in. They got a nice banquet there Saturday night. I get to do some jawing. So I'd be delighted if you want to stop by. That's great. Guadalupe's got a phenomenal network. 40 some stations. I was thinking about when I was flying in today from Des Moines, because I was in Des Moines last night. After the talk was done, it was probably 10 o'clock. Went to the hotel, got up, and before noon, I was back here in Canton. That just ain't right. Almost all of human history, except for maybe the last 150 years when you could use a train, a journey like that, from a distance of Iowa to Ohio, that mileage, didn't have states, but that mileage, would take weeks. It'd be threatening. People didn't do that. Only the most exploring type, only the most adventurous folks would try something like that. Most people didn't venture more than 5 miles from their home their whole lives. And I'm thinking about that. Go to bed in Des Moines, get up in Canton. I don't know what that does to the body. It's got to do something. Oh, man. All right, 877-573-7825. One last bit of info. We're only 2 weeks now from our tapings in Fargo, North Dakota. Living Right with Dr. Ray, season number 14 tapings. Be delighted to have you there in the live audience. If you go to realpresenceradio.com, you can click on Living Right with Dr. Ray. You can be in the audience. The audience makes the show. I've said that over and over and over again. They truly do. I can't do the show without an audience. When I first approached EWTN 15 years ago about all this, I said, I got to have an audience. More people in the audience, the better. Plus, you're not just people who sit there. You ask questions. You are interactive. We use you in some of the bits. Sometimes we use someone from a role play. So the audience is a very interactive part. Love to have you. If you can come, you'll be on EWTN. That's right. So go there, realpresenceradio.com/banner, I think. Living Right with Dr. Ray. You sign up for as many shows as you wish. I got a strategy that's pretty close to foolproof. If you want to keep someone from apologizing to you. Dr. A, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I want to keep someone from apologizing to me? Well, here's how it works. Somebody apologizes. And let's say that it's been something they've done rather consistently. Yeah, thoughtfulness, thoughtlessness, something along those lines. Here's what you say. I'll give you a number of comebacks. Sorry doesn't make everything right. Sorry's not enough. If you were really sorry, you'd change. I don't believe you. Oh, that's one, isn't it? What do you do if someone says that to you? I don't believe you. How do you convince them? My suggestion is that if someone apologizes to you, maybe even if it's few and far between, accept it at face value. Dr. Ray, come on. I know the person. All they're trying to do is just duck out of trouble. That's all. They have no intent on changing anything differently. Well, first of all, how can you be so sure of that? But let's assume you are. Let's say that you're right on target, or as Father Robert Spitzer would say, right on the marker. Do you help yourself by simply batting it back? If you say something like, well, sorry's just words. Be nice to see some action, some change. The problem with that is it assumes that when people have genuine remorse, they regret what they did, that they are strong enough to never do it again, which is seldom true. If you go to confession for any amount of years, I'm sure you found yourself repeating the same sins. Are you not sorry? I mean, you keep doing it. So what if the priest who is your confessor and he's been your confessor for 8 years finally says to you, yeah, I'm really starting to doubt your remorse here, because you come in and you certainly speak contritely, but then you come back and you just say the same things. Makes me wonder if you're really sorry. And what would you say? Father, I am sorry. I truly am sorry. But these are bad habits. I'm weak. I fall prey to temptation. I've got a fallen human nature. All of which is true. But you would like him to give you absolution, wouldn't you? Of course you would. So when someone says, I'm sorry to you, especially over a recurrent, if you want to call it offense, you would do well to accept it, applying the same standard to them as you would like applied to you. Somebody that's an alcoholic can have serious, serious regrets about their conduct, what it's doing to their marriage, what it's done to their life, what it's done to their job. Truly, truly, truly. But yet, they still keep falling back into the same patterns. That's different, Dr. Ray. That's an addiction. Okay, so that's a factor in it. But you would think that the incredible devastation that their behavior is wreaking in their lives would be a motivator to get over it. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. If you tie an apology into a change of behavior, you're going to get frustrated because behavior is slow to change, especially bad habits, especially sins. If you tell somebody anything akin to, I really don't accept your apology because I don't think you mean it. I really don't accept your apology because you're just trying to get out of trouble. I really don't accept your apology because you're just using words. You always do this. I really don't accept your apology because to you it just rolls off your tongue and it doesn't mean anything. I really don't accept your apology because you go turn around and go do the same thing again. Then you're probably guaranteeing that you're going to get less and less apologies. Well, good. Maybe I don't need an apology if it's not genuine. Well, how do you gauge that? How do you measure that? You have to see inside a person's psyche. You got to see inside their soul. No, I know the person. It's not. Okay, then if it's not, and you get some satisfaction in saying, I'm not going to be buffaloed by an insincere apology, I suppose you could, but you know what you've also done? If occasionally an apology would be sincere, you're not going to get that one. Because the person who apologizes doesn't really know how it's going to be accepted. So I may be truly, truly sorry, but the last three times I've apologized to you, you smacked them back at me. What good is it to say I'm sorry? You won't believe me anyway. So that's my foolproof technique. In short, somebody apologizes, don't accept it. That'll pretty much guarantee in the future you won't be in a position to have to accept anything because you get less and less of them. Look at that, all guys up there. Amazing. All right, Manly Show.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
You are listening to the least worst of the Doctor is in with Dr. A. Grandy. He has no best of. I could not find them on the shelves.
Had a call last week. Young person called in. She was in her 20s. Frustrated over screaming kids at church. We're not talking crying kids. Little babies cry. We're talking 2-3-year-olds who are just creating one major league disruption, and the parents are pretty much doing nothing about it. And she was frustrated about it. We talked a little bit about it. And I had some folks write some real nice emails on the kinds of things they did for their young people. One mom said that she and her husband alternated. One would stay home while one went to Mass, and then when that spouse came home, the other went to Mass. So they did that for a while, and it worked for them. Well, Richard from Iowa City was on the line at the end of that program, and I said, Richard, I wanted to get to you. Give me a call back. And he did. He's right there. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
What's up?
Well, I want to start out by saying that I think that you kind of brainstormed your way into an answer to Maggie's question.
Wait a minute. You brainstormed my way. What you're saying is I was floundering around until I found something.
Well, I was trying to be charitable.
I'll take floundering. It's okay.
Well, as I recall, you wound up by saying that you thought that the reason that people didn't take their kids out of the sanctuary during Mass when they were cutting up is because they were embarrassed.
I said that. Well, it could be one of them.
I think that's part of what's going on, in my opinion, totally uncredentialed opinion.
Well, you don't have to have credentials to have an opinion.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I think that part of it may be embarrassment. Part of it may also be this kind of pervasive attitude in our culture right now of "don't judge me." I think if parents have to take their small screaming kids to the cry room during Mass, they probably kind of look at it like a walk of shame.
That's why I always say don't sit way up front, because it's a long walk down that aisle from the front.
Yep, I agree. Now, kids are teenagers now.
Are they screaming during Mass? No, the problem with teenagers is they don't say a word during Mass, right, Richard?
Yeah, it's like pulling teeth to get to the Mass now, but when they were smaller, they used to cut up during Mass, and there was one Sunday when my wife and I just came home and we were absolutely frazzled, my wife more so than me, and she remarked to me that she remembered absolutely nothing of the homily. So we decided, okay, we've got to do something about this, and we came up with the same solution that you mentioned that this other lady that emailed you had come up with. We started going to Mass in shifts. And that worked out quite well.
Well, my wife does that now, and I don't understand it, because all our kids are grown. And she keeps saying, Ray, we'll just go to Mass and shifts. I go, what? Well, I'm going to wait, honey. She goes, I don't know if she's embarrassed by me or what, but I'm working on it. Yeah, I think your point is taken also. Yeah, it's there is a certain mindset in our culture that says, look, what's your problem with what I'm doing? And they're not likely to consider that, you know, this is my son has three little ones. The oldest is six. He's got 6, 4, and 1. And when we go up there to visit, they typically will walk out with one of them during Mass. They always sit toward the back. But as soon as one of them starts getting a little crazy, they'll just get up and quietly walk out. You know, they don't. Yeah. They understand that.
Well, they've walked me out a few times.
Yeah, you know, it's true, and I think that, I guess all of the motives depend upon who it is and what exactly is going on. I think a lot of parents, Richard, are flummoxed. They don't know what to do. My wife used to have the grip. She would grip one of the kids' legs in a warning grip when they were a little older, which was a problem because there was only two of us and we had 10 of them. And so at most, we could reach four knees between the two of us. So that left six of them free. I think one of the problems we had, we never had to leave Mass because when people saw us coming in, most of them left. Yeah, that was pretty much it. Richard, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Take good care. Let's see what we got here. John, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I'm going to have to emotionally smack you around or what. Hi, John. Oh, I'm sorry. There's two Johns up there. Okay, John from Pennsylvania, Andrew.
I'm here.
Yes, sir. Man, how long have you not forgiven yourself?
Oh, I'm in my 70s, and this was in fourth grade.
Anyway. Oh!
Yep.
How much does it nag you?
Oh, it has, but I've kind of learned what caused it, and I've learned to forgive the people that put me there.
Okay, that's good.
Like an advanced class of in fourth grade, and something happened, and to the point I almost wanted to die that night. And something else happened that Dad cold cocked me because I was doing an April 1st fool's joke, and I just turned myself off to go to the remedial class. And then I came back up to medial or average, and I have held that against them for the longest time, but I've learned to forgive them.
Well, wait a minute.
I haven't learned to forgive myself.
Okay, that's what I'm getting to. Yeah, I thought the question was forgiving yourself. Why? Because you just decided I'm going to punish them by simply shutting down and not doing the best I can do. That'll
exactly.
Show them.
Back at that time, that's exactly what I was doing.
And John, I know you were in fourth grade. How old were you? Nine?
Well, that would have been about nine-ish, ten-ish.
I said, okay. So let me see if I got what you're telling me. You're telling me, and you're in your 70s.
Yep.
So for over 65 years, you have had this reverberating memory of something you did when you were a kid, a nine-year-old kid with a nine-year-old kid's mind and a nine-year-old kid's immaturity.
Yeah.
Well, how could you, I'm curious, how could you exaggerate that into that kind of importance?
Well, it was, I guess, revenge for them, the parents.
Well, okay, let's say you did that, but you were nine.
Yep.
And you were a dumb nine. Okay. I mean,
yeah,
not academically dumb. Dumb meaning a foolish move.
I know.
Foolish move. Okay. So what?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And now I am retired, and boy, I've been thinking about all this for so long that.
Oh, John.
Yeah. And I'm going, I got to forgive them. I got to somehow forgive myself for doing that. Now that I'm at this age, I've never been married, I have no kids, and it's a wish that I...
Okay, here's what you do. You already comfortable in that you've forgiven them? You can rest easy in that? Good. So with yourself, you say, okay, I forgive me. That was a sin. I've confessed it long ago. God forgave me, and I am not better than God. If the creator of the universe sees fit to forgive me for something like that, who do I think that I am that I can't do that? Am I better than God?
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
While I was working at this Protestant station, in the midst of being challenged by former Catholics, I received this book from Ascension Press, and I became hooked on apologetics. I discovered Catholic Answers. I discovered EWTN. I started listening to all these programs. I would just go to local Catholic bookstores and grab every single book I could on apologetics. Deep in my heart, I knew that it was true, and I trusted the Church for her 2,000 years of teaching. I knew a certain amount of Scripture, but I wasn't able to defend it as well. That period of my life where I worked in Christian radio and was challenged by former Catholics, as painful as it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it really forced me to dive in more deeply and fall even more in love with the Catholic Church.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Is there a universal call to prayer? The Catholic Catechism tells us man is in search of God. God, in the act of creation, called every being into existence from nothingness. Even after man sinned and lost his likeness to God, he remained an image of his Creator and never lost his desire for the one who called him into existence. All religions attest to man's essential search for God. The Catechism points out, however, that God calls us first to that mysterious encounter, prayer. God always initiates. Man's first step in the process is to respond. Prayer is a reciprocal call. Throughout the whole history of salvation, the covenant drama unfolds. The revelation of prayer in the Old Testament comes between the fall and the restoration of man. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Usually at the halfway mark in the program, we get a little influx of calls because we tell people we got a lot of time left. So the number is 877-573-7825. You want to weigh in? You want to talk in? You want to ask in? You want to do something? John is calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, down there at the Sacred Heart Radio area. Hello, John.
Hi, Doctor.
This is about your 20-year-old grandson, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm 88. His father died recently, who was, you know, like 57 or something. And his father and mother got divorced early. So he's been raised by his mother. Wonderful student, all A's. He's now a sophomore in college, still gets wonderful grades. He was a wonderful athlete, captain of his soccer team, and one league he was most valuable. He's one of the nicest young men I've ever met. He has a nice appearance. He's very polite. Works hard at school. And some years ago, when his father was alive, we were at Mass. And his father's friend had a younger sister die of drugs. And we went to the funeral Mass. And so my grandson then was maybe about 15. And at communion time, his mother, who's not a practicing Catholic anymore, asked me if her son could go to communion. And I said, well, he's got to be baptized and he's got to be in the church and he can go up and fold his hands. So, at the time I was thinking I'll get him in RCIA or something, but I never was able to accomplish it. So now it's 5 years later and I gave him a book recently on, God talking to you in ordinary ways. And it was sort of a general thing about how to live your life and your needs and your talents and your desires.
Is this a bright kid, John? John, is this a bright kid?
Pardon me?
Is this a bright kid? Is he a smart kid?
Very bright. Very okay. bright.
There's a book. There's a book by Father Robert Spitzer.
Okay.
It's called, his most recent book, Jesus, Science, and Reason, I think. It presents some pretty indisputable, scientifically inexplicable things regarding the shroud, regarding Eucharistic miracles. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very, very powerful.
Great.
Go out with your grandson and say, you know, son, you're a bright kid. You got a lot going for you. If you would, I'd like you to just pick a chapter in this. There it is, Christ, Science, and Reason. There it is, what we can know about Jesus, Mary, and miracles. I'm reading it now, and Father Spitzer, he's made the point that a lot of young people think that science is pretty much taken care of religion. It's kind of just said, we don't need religion because we got science. And
yeah.
Father Spitzer basically makes the point that science can point to God very clearly. And in this book, Christ, Science, and Reason, he lays out some of the more, I'm going to call them proofs, of things that just can't be explained. Can't be explained through what we know about natural causes. I would get that, and I would ask him, say, just read the chapter on the shroud. And the shroud has been the most studied thing in terms of icons in Christian history. So that would be something I'd get. I'd sit with him, and I'd also ask him a few things. I'd say, you know, son, what do you think about all this God thing? Find out where he is, whether he's open to thinking about the question, whether, in fact, he's, I don't buy any of it. Where is he? You got to know where he is, John, in order to
okay.
kind of approach him. There's another book that I really like. It's called, it's a clunky title. It's called Handbook of Catholic Apologetics. Now, the title doesn't really speak succinctly of how good the book is. The book is written by Dr. Peter Kraft and a priest named Ron Caselli. It takes logic and reason and says, all right, let's look at this logically. This man claimed to be God. Now let's look at the evidence for this. And they don't necessarily use the Bible. They say, okay, let's study what we know about history. Let's see what happened surrounding him. And does it make sense that he is who he said he is, or does it not? All right. What are the possible options?
Yeah.
Was he a fraud? Was he a mystic guru? Was he a liar? What was he? Let's look at all of our options and see what they are. And I think it would be particularly fascinating for a kid like your grandson, especially if he is open to saying, I'll look into that. I've wondered about it. Because you got to figure, John, you're starting with nothing. I mean, from what you described, it doesn't sound like he was raised with any religion whatsoever, correct?
Right. I think he lived with his mother and her parents, and we've heard that the grandmother on that side used to walk him to the bus and teach him a few prayers.
Okay.
That was about it.
All right. Well, he might got a few seeds in there. I used to do a Bible study in the local county jail, and some of the guys would say the only exposure they got to religion was they had an aunt who a couple times took them to church, and they explained that as the reason why they were in the Bible study, because they said she kind of showed them something that nobody else did, and so they wanted to look in it a little further, and so they volunteered for the Bible study. Either that or they just wanted to get out of their cell, whatever. Well, John, good luck to you with these, my friend.
Hey, Doctor, thanks a million. God bless you.
You're welcome, sir. I always wondered what thanks a million was, you know? Nobody says ever thanks a dozen. Now, if you say thanks a lot, that means not a lot. See, this English language is very tricky. That's why if you're trying to learn English and you hear somebody go, thanks a lot, you're thinking, whoa, okay, that means they're really, really grateful. No, that means they're not really grateful. Or if someone says, okay, fine. Well, that means it's not fine. Tricky, tricky stuff. Let's see here. German and Italian content themselves with 1,000 thanks. Oh, tausen Dank, grazie mille. Okay. So people in Ireland decided to take it over the top and add a few zeros. It's common Irish way of simply saying thanks a lot. Well, thanks a lot meaning thanks a lot, not thanks a lot. 877-57-EQUAL. Certainly want to hear from you. We got some open lines. Love to talk to you. This is Dr. Ray.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Brothers and sisters, we got to tell the truth in this country. For heaven's sakes, I wouldn't want to go to a synagogue and find that they were having a Muslim service. I wouldn't want to go to a mosque and run into a Baptist service. I don't want to go to a Baptist church and find out that they're having Mass. We've got to be honest to ourselves. We've got to be what we are. I'd rather a good old-fashioned, honest agnostic than a phony Christian any day of the week. There are reluctant agnostics. There are atheists who are searching for God, and they may find him. But somebody who says they're doing something in the name of God, in the name of Christ, and God and Christ have nothing to do with it, is violating this commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Dr. Ray Grandy here. The program The Doctor is In. Delighted to have you with me. A couple of comments that we have open lines, which we usually don't have. So if you'd like to get through, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. What do you do when you got these young adults? And I got to admit, I get confused too. Because I know young adults that are in a phase of their life that they ignore religion. I did. I never left the church, but it was probably a low point in my attentiveness to all things spiritual. Now, I still went to Mass and did that, but for the most part, you know, I was a college kid. I don't know what it is about young adulthood. Maybe it's young adulthood in our culture. Maybe it was never that way. Maybe when you were raised in a faith-filled home or family or clan or tribe, as you moved into a young adulthood, you just carried it with you. But now there seems to be something maybe unique to Western culture that as you move into the independence of young adulthood and you're spreading whatever wings you want to spread, that God just gets put on a shelf. Sorry for the mixed metaphor, wings spread and on the shelf. But it seems so, so very common. Father Spitzer believes that a lot of the young people, as I said to John, have just been infused with the idea that science has already taken care of this. Religion is for people of long ago and old people. That's what it's for. And science has pretty much shown that a lot of the stuff that we believed as religious people, well, we got scientific explanations for them now. But that's so false. Because you don't need superstition. You don't need irrational beliefs to be religious. You recognize there is something beyond our senses. There is something beyond this existence. And you seek to know what it is. I know for me, the deeper I get into understanding science, I've been fascinated by science, whatever kind of science, biology, cellular, astronomy, I cannot find the words to describe the complexity. Let me just give you one stat I came across. They were talking about a nearby galaxy who had a black hole pretty much at its center. Now they're finding out that a lot of galaxies have black holes at their center. Black hole is an incredibly condensed star. It burned all its fuel, and it collapsed upon itself. There's nothing. Our sun is really a puny little star, to tell you the truth. It's a million times the size of the Earth, but it's a puny little star. And this particular star in this galaxy, this is not the black hole, but there was a star, I guess, in this galaxy. It said, if our sun were the size of a softball, this star would be 347 feet across. And our star, as I said, is a million times the size of the Earth. Now, think of those numbers. But in that galaxy, they said there was estimated a trillion stars. Trillion. Not a million, not a billion. Trillion. Now, and there are billions of galaxies. So what's all that for? I believe it's a sign of God's incredible power, his incredible creative ability. But as you get deeper and deeper and deeper into science, and you see the unfathomable complexity, and even the brightest of all of us don't understand a fraction of the complexity. Our body's composed of trillions of cells. Did you know that one DNA molecule in one of our cells conveys more information than all the books in the Library of Congress? See, when you start understanding stuff like this, I realize how little I understand about so much, and the awesomeness of God. Not the awesomeness of a chicken sandwich, not the awesomeness of a TikTok post, how we fling around awesome. Oh, that was awesome. It was just awesome. Yeah, I went sled riding. It was awesome. Oh, that new ride at Cedar Point. It's awesome. The awesomeness of God is beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension. I can't. The more I try to understand the physical world, the more. Okay, think about this. Our Lord says, you will be held accountable for every idle word you speak. Now, that line has always scared me, because I speak a whole lot of idle words. But God knows the innermost being, the innermost motives. He has to. to be an infinitely fair judge. He has to. He's not going to weigh judgment of Ray Guarendi the same that he would weigh a judgment of a kid who was born in the inner city, whose mother was a drug addict, whose father, who knows, and this poor kid at age 11 joined a gang and was killed at 13. Certainly, it seems, a fair judge is going to look at him quite differently. Now, for him to do that, for God to do that, he has to have a knowledge beyond all knowledge of what made that kid tick or what was involved in his whole being. And right now they estimate that there are approximately 8 billion, in the words of Carl Sagan, billions of people on the earth. And for God to know the innermost workings at every second of every one of them. Either that or he keeps it in a big Rolodex or something. It's just inconceivable to humans. Inconceivable. But yet he must. He does. So that kind of stuff actually increases my faith. Because the complexity, the natural laws, the mathematics behind all of it is incomprehensible. And the universe simply has not been around long enough. It's not eternal. We know that now. For all that to fall into place by chance. I got to take a break. If you want to get in, one final segment, 877-57-EQUAL.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomio's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomio.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net. This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
You've heard of the incredible shrinking man. Well, you are tuned into the incredible manly shrink. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thanks for joining me. West Texas 11th Annual Fishers of Men Dinner this Saturday. October 12th, the doors open at 6:30. Those of you in Midland, Guadalupe Radio Network affiliate, we're going to have a nice banquet, and they got me speaking. If you want tickets to that, you want to be part of it, go to grnonline.com, grnonline.com. Those banquets are just... they are bread and butter. They lift my spirits to see all those folks
involved in their faith, supportive of Catholic media. Really very cool. Plus, you know, I sell a lot of books, too. All right, so I'm a money changer in the temple. All right. Let's see. Kevin from Washington. I spurred apparently something in him. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Such a beautiful program, speaking to all this amazing universe that we live in and these billions and trillions of stars and elements. And the only thing that could come to mind, it just made me speechless. The only thing that came to mind for me is, what if in God's beautiful plan, it took all of that just to create life in one place? Just to create human life in one place. How humbling would that be?
If you look at the stats, Kevin, if you look at some of the scientists who have attempted to calculate the odds of what they call anthropomorphic conditions for one DNA molecule to replicate itself, or for the weak nuclear force to be just a minuscule, infinitesimally fractioned lower or higher, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
There's so much of it. One physicist said this. He said, and I got to get this right, at the moment of the Big Bang, if there was a shift in some kind of explosive energy about the equivalence of the weight of a dime, we wouldn't be here.
When I hear people speak of, almost with trivia, there could be and probably is just life everywhere, how sometimes it speaks to my heart kind of dismissively, and also to me it discounts how much great love God has for us, and what a wonder it would be if he has so much thirst to love life the way that he's created it, that it took all of this just to create life here. How great would that speak to love?
Some scientists are coming to that conclusion. There's a survey done, Father Spitzer reports it, that of the scientists under age 50, 56% of them are believers. Those over age 50, it's not quite as many, and his point to that is that these young scientists are seeing exactly how fine-tuned the whole universe is. One of the, I forget which one of these high-profile atheists, was it Dawkins or one of those guys, somebody asked him in a moment of unprotectiveness, he replied, somebody said, what is the best argument for the existence of a creator? And he said, the fine-tuning of the universe. It's balanced on a razor's edge, and there are so many physical aspects of the universe that if they were just tweaked a minuscule one way or the other, everything would be different. So, well, Kevin, thank you. I appreciate that, my friend. Father Spitzer has a whole bunch of good books on that stuff. Science at the Doorstep to God is a great one. His most recent one I'm reading through right now, and he can be pretty sophisticated in his physics, but it's written so that you can understand it, especially the parts about the shroud and the Eucharistic miracles and the tilma. Those are some pretty impressive signs that God said, look here, look at this, don't base your faith on it, but it certainly is something that you can add to your faith. Kevin, thank you. Thank you for the call, my friend. Well, I got to run. Once again, just pushing you. Well, I wouldn't call it groveling. Okay, you can call it groveling. I can do that. Fargo, October 23, 24. It's coming up fast. And usually the last couple of weeks is when people decide, okay, I got the free time. The taping of Living Right with Dr. Ray in the evening. The shows are 5:30 and 7:15 on October 23 and 24. It's a Wednesday and a Thursday night. Live audience. We'll feed you. You bring the kids, bring the gang. In between, we will feed you. That's right. Oh, yeah, you'll get carrot sticks. I mean, come on. No, we'll do a little better than that. But the audience is all part of the program. Always has been, and I appreciate it so very, very much. So, I'm looking at the clock here, and I got to go. I want to thank Andrew Krucek for all he does, and I appreciate your company through this. Walk with God. If you fall, well, get up. And those of you who can't forgive yourself, if God has forgiven you, you think you're like better at this than God?
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.